Do you know the difference between righteousness and self-righteousness? Most people would probably say that they know that difference, but it seems as you look at what the Bible teaches about what self-righteousness is, that you have individuals who will say, you're self-righteous, or themselves may be guilty of actually being self-righteous without having any idea that that's the case. And so there is a great deal of confusion as to what self-righteousness really is. And so we want to spend some time going to God's Word to determine what self-righteousness is and is not, because we certainly do not want to be guilty of being self-righteous. So let's start off by going to Isaiah chapter 65, and I would like to read a text beginning in verse 1 discussing the Israelites in the time of Isaiah, and how that they were, in fact, self-righteous. And I think the text describes it very clearly. So in verse 1, these are the words of Jehovah. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people, who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens, burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but I will repay, even repay into their bosom, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says the Lord, who have burned incense on the mountains and blasphemed me on the hills. Therefore, I will measure their former work into their bosom. Now, what I would like you to imagine looking at the words which the prophet revealed from Jehovah's mouth, the people of Israel's day, a profane people, a people that were full of sin and abomination, and yet they were arrogant in proclaiming, I am holier than you. Remember in Ezekiel's time, in Ezekiel chapter 18, with regard to that proverb, that fathers have eaten sour grapes and the son's teeth are set on edge. And that parable was one that God did not like, because what was being indicated was they were blaming their fathers for their own sins. And he indicated very clearly that the soul that sins shall die. But the people at that time, when he made that proclamation, said, your way is not fair. They were calling God unfair. They were saying, I am holier than you, God. My way of looking at it, my way of acting, and my morals, they're better than yours. And so they were very much guilty of being self-righteous. And God said to these people in Isaiah chapter 65, I will not keep silence. I will repay, even repay into their bosom. This would be a very strong condemnation and judgment that would come upon Israel, right in the midst of Israel as a result of their ungodliness. God is not mocked, and those who are self-righteous before him will not stand. And so it's important that we need not be guilty of the same kinds of things. And again, I think that the religious world has a misconception of what self-righteousness actually is. They typically will talk about those who are diligent in seeking to serve God, and they will refer to them as being the self-righteous ones. And we just want to go to God's Word to find out what self-righteousness is and what it is not. So let's start off by noting what it is. And we'll state, first of all, that self-righteousness is trusting in oneself for righteousness rather than in God. You remember, and I'll actually use this text a couple of times in our study, the account, the parable that Jesus told to individuals who trusted in themselves. You'll notice in verse 9 of the text, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. They trusted in themselves. The parable of the Pharisee and tax collector was told to them about that Pharisee who said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. verse 11 of that text. He was guilty of exalting himself. And because he was guilty of exalting himself, we are told that he was not justified by God, because God will abase those who exalt themselves and exalt those who humble themselves. And so self-righteousness is trusting in one's self rather than trusting in God. A second point to be made along these lines is that self-righteousness is to think that oneself is righteous because of his own obedience. In other words, that an individual has standing before God because of how perfectly he keeps the law. And that was a mistake that the Jews were making in the first century. And Jesus in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11 made reference to them in saying that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's evident. That's evident. That's obvious. What did Paul mean by that? Well, he argued, for example, in Romans chapter 3, that no man kept the law perfectly. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as there was no provision of mercy that is found in the law, those who were guilty of transgressing the law were guilty of all and stood condemned before God. So no man, no Jew had the right to say, I'm a Jew, and because I am a keeper of the law, that I stand before God. I am justified. I am righteous because I am a law keeper. Well, no man was, because no man kept that law perfectly, which would be required for someone to say, I'm righteous because of my obedience. And so Paul says there in verse 11, the just shall live by faith. Faith in Christ is what brings one into justification and righteousness in the sight of God. And so it's self-righteous to think that I am what I am, and I have my relationship with God because of how good a job I do in keeping the law. It's simply not true. A third point to be made along these lines about what self-righteousness is that self-righteousness is binding where the Lord has not bound. Again, it is a type of self-exaltation where I begin to elevate my own traditions, my own views, my own desires above those of God himself. And you'll remember that in Matthew 15, when the scribes and Pharisees had objected to the disciples not keeping the elders' traditions, the Lord himself, he came down hard upon those scribes and Pharisees because they were annulling God's commandments by their own traditions, and said in verse 9 of the text, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And so true self-righteousness is an individual who just sets aside what God's will is, disregards the type of worship that God has ordained, the work that God has given the church to do, the responsibilities that he has individually in his service to the master. And instead, he determines to do what he wants to do and then says that is something that is pleasing to God. That's what God wants. Well, that's very arrogant. It is putting yourself in a position of a lawmaker, the one who establishes the will, rather than the Lord himself establishing that for us. And as a result of it, he called them hypocrites. They were drawing near with their mouth and their lips, but because they were elevating their own traditions above God's will, in actuality, their heart was far from him, as he stated in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 15. Okay, what is self-righteousness? Self-righteousness is an arrogant view of others. In other words, I am arrogant in my view about other people. I feel myself to be superior to what they are. And again, taking the text of Luke chapter 18, that same parable that was given to some individuals who trusted in themselves and despised others, there is that parable where the Pharisee, as he stood up to pray to God in the temple, he said, as he prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men." And then he listed a number of sins that other men are guilty of. And in contrast said, "Look what I do. I fast, I tithe, I do this, I do that." And he was exalting himself. He felt himself to be superior to others. This is something that was actually characteristic of the scribes and Pharisees, and it's something that any religious person can be guilty of. If we embrace God's grace and we become obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ as a result of Christ's blood and what Christ has done for us, then upon our repentance and obedience to the gospel of Christ, we are saved. It is not something we earn. It is not something we are worthy of, because all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But we have obtained, it's like the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We have obtained that gift, and we rejoice in that gift. But do we turn around then and look at others who have not received that gift and consider ourselves better than they? Because that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing. They criticized Jesus, for example, in Matthew chapter 9, because he had the audacity to sit down and eat with tax collectors and sinners. One Pharisee said, as he was eating with a woman in the Pharisee's house, he said, if he knew what manner of woman she was, he wouldn't be sitting with her. They had that view that I'm a Pharisee, I'm better than everyone else. Jesus said to the priests and elders of the temple in Matthew chapter 21, as they were putting themselves up as positions of authority and as righteous individuals, and yet were rejecting him, he said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. The tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you didn't afterward relent and believe him. So here was that example, and he was talking about the teachings of John the Baptist, and he said, you know, when we talk about entering the kingdom, and they, of course, John's gospel was a gospel of repentance for the remission of sins, because the kingdom of God was drawing near. And here were individuals who were hearing that and joyfully responding and repenting of their sins and being baptized by John in the Jordan River. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't listening. They weren't interested. The religious leaders of the day, they did not believe in John. And so he says, you consider yourself so righteous, and yet because you are not willing to relent, not willing to repent, tax collectors and prostitutes are going to enter the kingdom before you. So what was typical of the Pharisees, that arrogant view, because I'm a religious person, I'm better than others, is something that certainly should not be present in our lives. There's no room for it. Finally, what is self-righteousness? It is a companion to hypocrisy. And that's something that's kind of interesting when you look at the texts where Jesus discusses the self-righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the day, that he calls them hypocrites over and over again. Matthew 23 is an example of this. He says, outwardly you appear righteous to men, but inwardly, inside, you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You may remember the descriptions that were given of them. They were described as having cleansed the outside of the dish, but being full of extortion and self-indulgence. These are individuals. Can you imagine that? If you have let's say some filth, some filthy water or some dirt or mud or whatever on the inside of a container, and you want to drink water out of that container and to slake your thirst. And so what you do is you go into the house and you make sure that you clean the outside of that cup, outside of that dish as best you can, to make sure it just looks pristine clean, but do absolutely nothing about the filth that's inside of it before you fill it with water and drink it. Or that what you have is this beautiful, pristine looking cup, but it's filled with just abominable things, horrific things. And so there is an outward cleanliness, but an inward uncleanliness. That's hypocrisy. In that same context, he talks about the whitewashed tombs. That's a favorite description of mine, because it just, as you consider it, it's outwardly beautiful. I had opportunity to go over to Jerusalem, and the hillside that overlooks the city, where the Garden of Gethsemane is found, and this Mount of Olives. There is an old Jewish cemetery there, and there are so many whited sepulchres. There are so many ossuaries or bone boxes and tombs that are all across that mountainside. And it's a pretty striking thing. You perhaps have been struck by the beauty of Arlington National Cemetery, with the simple white crosses and geometric patterns and those kinds of things. But inwardly, inside these tombs, they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness or corruption. And that's the way the hypocrites, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and religious leaders were. And so self-righteousness is that exaltation of self almost primarily comes to individuals who want to be seen by men as being righteous, want to be seen by men as better, as more valuable, as more righteous. But they're not interested on what's inside, the righteousness of God. So, having established what self-righteousness is and what is it's characterized by as revealed in Scripture, let's spend just a few moments talking about what it is not, what self-righteousness is not. First thing to point out is that self-righteousness is not obedience to the law of God. In fact, that is something that God requires of us. If we are being carefully obedient to God's law, then we're not being self-righteous. Rather, we are limiting ourselves to and fulfilling the righteousness of God. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey. It's not self-righteousness at all. Those who are obedient to God's word and are careful to do exactly what God tells them to do, they're not being self-righteous. They are being righteous. They're fulfilling the righteousness of God. Timothy is a good example of this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. When the Apostle Paul talks to him about the importance of instructing the brethren, he says, if you instruct them in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. That was not a condemnation of Timothy as being a self-righteous individual. He was acknowledging the fact that Timothy, as he had been raised in the Old Testament scriptures by a godly mother and grandmother and had learned those scriptures, he had carefully followed the things that God would have him follow. And he did that, continued to do that once he became a child of God and once he became a gospel preacher. So, Timothy is a good example of one who was carefully obedient to God's law and as such was a righteous individual, not a self-righteous individual. Secondly, this is pretty much the same kind of concept, but zeal and dedication to the cause of Christ, that's not self-righteous. And the religious world today will often look like that. Say, yeah, well, I'm a Christian, or I believe in God, but I'm not one of those militant type Christians, you know. And they want to make sure that you understand that they don't take it that seriously, or it's not that big a part of their life. They want to be a little bit less militant because they perceive that to be someone who's over the top and is in fact or indeed self-righteous. But I want you to notice again the text in Hebrews chapter 5. That's not Hebrews 5. Let's see here. I'm sorry the text. I can't think of where the text is. I apologize for that. What happens when you copy and paste slides that every once in a while you'll put a new scripture in but leave the previous reference? And for some reason it's not coming to me where this is written, but the passage tells us, having reference to Jesus as the Lord, that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So think of that, and I'll get that scripture reference to you because it's right on the tip of my tongue, but for some reason it's just not coming to me. But notice in this particular case, he purified for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. God expects us to have zeal and dedication in the cause of Christ. It is not something. Now, the world will look askance at it and think, they're just a little bit over the top. They're holier than thou types. But being holy is not the same as being holier than thou. Being zealous and dedicated for the things of God is not being self-righteous in any way. Now, changing gears just for a moment, let's talk about a couple of other things. I'm sorry my allergies are bothering me right now. Maybe something up here in this room. But two other points to be made along these lines has to do, first one, with regard to sin and our relationship to sin. It is not self-righteous to reprove sin, to condemn sin, to convict individuals of sin, to rebuke individuals of their sin. In fact, you'll remember the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to do just that in 2 Timothy 4:2 when he said, to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. That's something that Timothy was required to do. And by extension and by example, we too are to be willing to convict individuals of their sin. When necessary, show the sin to be ungodly and unacceptable in God's eyes and do something about it. Tell them and convict them of their sin that they may come to repentance. And having failed in that, if the rebuking and reproving of sin does not bring repentance, then it's not a self-righteous thing to refuse to have fellowship with sin and error. In fact, we are not to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you'll remember the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? Oh boy. I don't want to record this over again, so you're just going to have to bear with me because we're almost finished with the lesson. But it says there, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? We're not supposed to be in and among the world. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, these self-righteous, religious, holier-than-thou people, if Jesus lived here on this earth and Jesus, he would be in the bar talking with the sinners and having a good old beer with them. And they talk about Jesus as if he was one who condoned or participated in the sin of others. And he didn't do that. For first of all, he was guileless. He did not sin, nor was guile or deceit found in his mouth. Nor did he ever advocate for or tolerate those who were in sin. He went to them and preached to them to bring them out of sin. But he had very strong denunciations for any individuals who refused to hear what he had to say. Now, he was willing to go to them, and that's the responsibility that we have. And so if we refuse to have fellowship with sin and error, someone is unrepentant, unwilling to do right, we can't have a part in that. And that's not being holier than thou, that's being holy in the sight of God. And then the second and final point that we want to make along these lines is that it is not self-righteous to accept that God's word is absolute truth, and as such, it is final and it is authoritative. That scripture constitutes God's word. Rather than being unwilling to accept it because these things were written thousands of years ago, that they're not applicable to our day, they're no longer relevant, we understand that God revealed his will to man. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We understand that. We recognize that. And that's not being self-righteous. It's being righteous to accept the authoritative word of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 very clearly said, not to be unwise. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is his will revealed in the New Testament scriptures, and that is what we are to follow. So, that's all I had to say this evening. I do want to conclude by reading two passages of scripture to you and point out the fact that it's dangerous to be self-righteous. We ought to understand the difference between elevating ourselves and seeking a righteous standing with God based upon our own merit or our own ideas or our own works. And instead, we need to submit to the righteousness of God himself. Now, there's a text in Romans chapter 10 and verses 1 through 4 where Paul, I think, very clearly states this. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, because I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So faith in Christ is the basis upon which righteousness comes. These individuals, they thought themselves to be righteous, but they didn't know what righteousness was. They established their own standard, and we must never be guilty of doing that. Instead, we ought to have the same attitude that the Apostle Paul had and stated in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. He said, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. We all want to be resurrected. We want to spend an eternity in the presence of the Almighty God. The way for us to gain that is to believe and obey Jesus the Christ, not by being self-righteous, instead by living lives of righteousness before him, accepting the grace extended, giving him the glory for what he has done for us. I am what I am by the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. My righteousness is not my own. My righteousness is the righteousness of God. Or else, if self-righteous, I stand condemned before him. Very important things to consider. We appreciate very much your kind attention today, and we will see you again soon.